living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org. So today's message is Discovering the Good in Divine Doubt. And it is by Dr. Casey Wilson, who is one of our licensed practitioners and also is the director of Camp Cedar Ridge. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Casey Wilson, and I think I've probably met most of you either here or at Camp Cedar Ridge at some point. And so I'm very happy to be here today. When I have the chance to speak here, I try to bring a little bit of camp with me to make it a little bit fun, a little bit interactive. And so we're going to do that again today. We're going to start with a couple of things. First thing is the childhood phrase, there's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere, right? So, oh, wait, we got to add something to make it really campy. Crazy hat. We like our crazy hats at camp. Okay, so what we're going to do is, there's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere. Hey, there's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere. Hey, there's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere. Hey! All right, good. That might come back a little bit later, so, you know, don't relax too much. All right, so this month, in Centers for Spiritual Living, the global theme for May of 2026 is divine doubt. Doubt can help us to clarify our understanding and interpretations of meaning in life. So what gift does doubt have for us? What gift does doubt have for us? And how do we respond to the cognitive dissonance that we experience while we navigate this thing called life? Ernest Holmes said, "We are living in an intelligent universe which responds to our mental state. To the extent that we learn to work with those states, we shall automatically control our environment." Which means that there is this force that is greater than we are. And we can learn to work with it to influence the experiences that we have in life. And that includes the concept of doubt. So a more grown-up way of saying there's not a spot where God is not is there is one life. That life is God. And that is my life now. In this month's Science of Mind magazine, Joseph Nelson wrote about doubt as devotion. And he said, "Doubt becomes devotion when uncertainty does not cause us to pull away, but instead deepens our commitment to spiritual practice and what we hold sacred. We strengthen through our practice. Lessons repeat until they are learned. The practices that we apply are meditation, affirmative prayer, gratitude, grounding, and service." And so I want to talk a little bit about service as the talk goes on, as being a particularly useful practice when we are dealing with the concept of doubt. And when we talk about doubt, another sort of counterpoint to that is the word faith. And what is what is the meaning of doubt and what is the meaning of faith? And doubt can be a call to devotion if it helps us to move towards faith. So I want to share a story that a real life story about that sort of explains this concept a little bit more. So I'm the executive director of Camp Cedar Ridge, which is a camp in Vernonia. It's halfway between Portland and the coast. It's 32 acres. And it was purchased by the Centers for Spiritual Living in 2022. So we've just finished completely finished our fourth year. We're starting our fifth summer. So we're still essentially a startup. We're sort of putting our little toe out of the startup world as we move into the next year or so. And so there's been a lot of faith that has been required, you know, over the last few years. And there certainly have been times when there has been a sense of doubt. But I want to sort of redefine what I'm talking about when I'm talking about doubt. So there is uncertainty. There is curiosity, inquisitiveness, thinking about contemplating something rationally. And one of the things that we do at Camp Cedar Ridge is a lot of community work. So we have several projects. About a year ago, we bought the local laundromat for a variety of reasons. And then about 6 months or so ago, we started another project. But we have been wanting to open a community center in Vernonia. We've been working on that for about 4 years, almost the whole time we've been there. And the opportunity came up for us to potentially take a space over that a restaurant had moved to a new location. So the opportunity came up for us to potentially take over this restaurant and use that space as a community center. The idea is that we would serve breakfast and lunch at the restaurant. That would pay the bills for the space. And then after lunch, we could use that space as a community center. So this is a big undertaking. And so over probably about 2 months when the restaurant became available, I did a lot of research, contemplation, inquisitiveness, right? Is this the right thing to do? Should I move forward? Am I on solid ground practically from a business perspective, spiritually, all of the things? And somewhat became a joke because I have a tendency to move quickly. And in this particular circumstance, I took my time a little bit more than I normally do. People who work with me were looking at me like, are we still talking about this? Aren't we going to do this? And I was like, I really am taking my time here because this is a risk. This is a stretch. I want to be sure. And so the time came. I felt secure that I had looked at it from all the different angles, and that it was a sound decision moving forward. And I signed the lease and started to talk to people about, you know, the implementation. About a week or 10 days after that final decision had been made, we had an experience where some guest, I'm sure not on purpose in any way, shape, or form, probably unbeknownst to them, but they brought bed bugs to our property. This is a major deal. Okay, we have a lot of beds, a lot of linen, a lot of places that bed bugs can hide. And we, you know, called a professional company. It turned out to do the full eradication of the bed bug was going to cost $25,000. So I had reserves, but not that not that many reserves. So I had a moment of doubt, right? Did I do the right thing? Was I out ahead? You know, was this, have I risked too much on behalf of our organization? And I remember, so you may all have this experience as well, that when you feel doubt, or I'll speak for myself, when I feel doubt, what I often will do is a little bit of a spiral, right? Oh, second guessing and beating myself up and woulda, shoulda, coulda, and all of that. And I thought, you know, I thought back about other challenges I've had, and usually what happens is that I do this spiral, and then I pick myself up, you know, kind of dust myself off and get back in the game. And it may take a day, a week, you know, 2 weeks, who knows how long that is going to take. And this time I said, no, we're just not going to do that. You know, first of all, I don't have time to do that, right? Because we have to deal with this right away. We started a 15-day fundraiser with the purpose of raising $25,000 so that we could, you know, get back what we had to close, so we had, in order to open again. And so I needed to move quickly, but it was the first time in my life, because many other times I've said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go down that hole of self-doubt and, you know, beating myself up. But I was never able to stop it before. Maybe I could truncate it, make it slower, you know, may not take so long. But I never, this was the first time that I was able to just say, we're not doing that. We're gonna pretend that we've already done it and I feel better and I'm back in the game. We're just gonna skip that whole part and we're just gonna go. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, yes. And the end result of that is that we raised, first we raised 24,000 and like $500. We were about $500 short. And then one of our board members said, how much you're short? I said, about $500. He said, I'm sending you a check. So we raised $25,000 in 15 days. Yeah. And many of you in this room contributed to that, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But part of the point of my story, really, in this, is that I remember in that moment when I was making that decision, and I said, our motto at Camp Cedar Ridge is discover the good. And I said, there is something good in this. Even though in this moment I cannot see it, I am naming the truth. There is something good for us from this. And I held on to that those 15 days. I kept looking for the good. And there were so many things that happened, but I guess the essence of it is that because I needed to sort of get up front and talk about this and raise money, people became aware of the community center and the restaurant in a way that they wouldn't have if I hadn't been as up front. And it has brought us more support than we would have probably had at this point. It kind of forced my hand to get out in front of myself. And so I was able to see that good, particularly in our community. So a lot of our support comes from the New Thought world. And what we got to see during this whole experience was how much support we had in the community. And that was, you know, because we're starting a community center, extremely helpful. And I think it really gave our staff a chance to see how much people really support us, because people stepped up and helped us through that. And so there were a lot of, you know, I could go on with you know, listing all of the good things. But the point is that good did come from it. And so I just share that experience, right, from the context of doubt and the concept of faith. And when I say faith, just like I'm saying, the difference between doubt, being inquisitive, being considering, is not doubt, right? That's just part of your process. But doubt is really when you are unsure of the things that are the most critical and essential. And I think faith, in the traditional sense of faith, is better maybe described from our tradition as a clear knowing of the truth. So I brought my handy dandy science magazine textbook because I wanted to share some things that I thought were particularly apropos to this. So in the back, the glossary under doubt, it says, "There's no room for doubt in a treatment. Realize that you treat with your understanding through the law. Meditate upon the spiritual significance of the statements you make until you induce within consciousness a definite concept of an already established fact, even though the fact may not have become objectified." So that's that moment where you say, I name and claim that there is good here, whether I can see it or not. Knowledge, in the glossary, says, "The word knowledge, as used throughout this textbook, means that which will bear the test in the light of truth. Real knowledge is the conscious awareness of the indwelling Father, the certainty that God abides at the center of our being as perfect health, complete joy, power, wisdom, and goodness, and ready to come forth into manifestation at our bidding. This knowledge is the secret of all power." Then, my favorite, maybe some of you as well, the very beginning, the thing itself, Rome numeral one, "We all look forward to the day when science and religion shall walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. Science knows nothing of opinion, but recognizes a government of law whose principles are universal. Yet any scientist who refuses to accept intangible values has no adequate basis for the values which he has already discovered. Revelation must keep faith with reason and religion with law, while intuition is ever spreading its wings for greater flights, and science must justify faith in the invisible." So, kind of going back to those principles that I spoke of in the beginning: meditation, affirmative prayer, gratitude, grounding, and service. I want to lean into service for a moment, and I brought another prop here. This is one of my favorites. This hangs in the dining room at Camp Cedar Ridge. "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." So I want to, let's see if this will do work. Yay, okay. When we encounter doubt or challenge in our exterior world, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and I think we see these things and we think, and doubt enters in, challenge enters in, our belief in goodness enters in. And I will share that the way that I have been navigating and surviving this particularly challenging time is by choosing to lean into service. So every time I hear about something that is hard to believe, hard to accept, hard to understand, some new challenge to our idea of what is good and right in the world, it is now sort of a shortcut to encourage me to find another way to serve. So I'll hear something on the news, and I'll, you know, my mind will think, oh, you know, my goodness, what is happening? And then I go straight to Spirit and the universe is calling for my action in the sphere in which I can act. So, you know, many of these things that we're talking about that are happening on the national and international stage, we may not feel like we have the ability to act, to do anything. But what we can do is what is in front of us. Those people that are in our sphere, those that our community, we can ask, how am I being called to serve? And lean into that in a deeper and deeper way. And so I feel like of all of those, there's meditation, there's affirmative prayer, there's gratitude, there's grounding. Those are all important. And I think service is almost like a superpower, you know, a shortcut. It's going to work every time. When I get myself away from myself and my own concerns and my own doubts, I can move, I can shift the energy by leaning into service and finding more and more ways that I can be of service to others. So I offer that to you as hopefully some words of upliftment. I know that PCSL is going through a particularly challenging time at this moment. And so those basics of meditation, affirmative prayer, gratitude, being grateful for who we are and the mission that PCSL has for our community. And as the community begins to shift the energy towards positive resolution and the future and the vision of this center, consider the superpower of service. And the antidote to doubt is not faith in the sense of blind faith, but knowing, the absolute knowing, the truth of our world, of our ability to work with that power that is greater than us to create something greater and better. So, do you remember what we did to start? There's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere. Hey, a little better. There's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere. Hey, there's not a spot where God is not, for God is everywhere. Hey, and so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.